It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. When this basketball study was first done, they found that about 50% of people who watched the video did not see the bear. Our brains trick us into thinking that we see and know far more than we actually do. Our intuition is that we will notice something that is that visible, that distinctive, but that intuition is consistently wrong. Just after Christmas, there was a post on Facebook in a group of pastors that I'm a part of, and someone asked, "Now that Advent is over, I'm stockpiling ideas for next year. So what worked for you and your congregation this year, and what didn't work?" Some of the comments were, "We used glow sticks for children and battery-operated tea lights for those with shaky hands from things like Parkinson's. We acted out the Christmas story in segments each Sunday in Advent. That worked well for us." My favorite one was this: "We tried clinging to tradition and hoping society reverses course and flocks back to the church. It didn't work for us." To which someone else replied, "Try again. I'm sure it will work eventually." It's easy to miss something that we're not looking for. It's easy to keep doing the things we've always done in the ways we've always done them. It's easy to get comfortable in church, to get comfortable with the people around us, the pew we sit in, the songs we sing, the words we say. It's easy to get comfortable with our routine and the way that things are always done. And there's value in that. Part of what makes church church is tradition. We come from a long line of people who have worked really hard to try to understand faith and how to live faith out. And we want to honor that. And the sense of community that we get from being around the people we know, the people who have been with us there on the mountaintops and down in the valleys, that's part of what gives us that sense of home. We talk about that every week. We believe everyone needs a church home. And part of that is being with the people we know and love and care about and who know and love and care about us. But we have to be careful because it's easy to miss what we're not looking for. It's easy to walk into church and to see only the people we know, and we miss the stranger among us. Or maybe even more importantly, when we're out there walking about in our day-to-day, non-Sunday life, we miss the people around us who do not have a church home, who don't have this sense of church family. And they need us. After Jesus' death and resurrection, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gave what is now known as the Great Commission. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. This good news is something that we are all called to share. It's something we're called to share with the people who we know and who we see, and the people who we tend to pass by and not see. We especially need to be on the lookout for people who are different from us, whether it's their color of skin or the circles we run in or the jobs we have that kind of isolate us. Here we are in the middle of Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. It's the perfect reminder that the good news is for all people. And it can take extra effort to make sure that those who are marginalized are invited and fully included, and that we're in partnership together, that we really all see each other and work together to share God's light and love. celebrated Christmas just a few weeks ago. We celebrated this amazing gift of God's Son given to us, came to this earth to live among us, our Savior. What are we doing with that gift now? What are we doing with that good news now? Are we just kind of keeping it inside and tucking it away for when we are feeling down? It's something that is to be shared. Now, I know we're Presbyterians. It can be a little uncomfortable to do this. But here's the thing. I believe that we have something that people need. Pascal said there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each person, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. One of my favorite authors and go-tos wrote an article, Anne Lamott. She wrote an article titled, "What I Want to Hear." And I think it echoes what a lot of people want to hear. She said, "The truth is, everyone worth his or her salt, all of your very best people, feel broken, stunned, overwhelmed, and defective some of the time. I want to hear someone remind me that if I want to have loving feelings, I need to do loving things. I want someone to make me laugh about our shared humanity and cuckoo-ness. I want someone to remind me that laughter is carbonated holiness. I want someone to remind me that we're all here just to walk each other home. I want to hear that I'm loved and chosen and welcome, no matter what a mess I've made of things or how defective I feel sometimes. I just want to hear that you and God will never leave me alone." We have something that people need. We have a word that people want to hear. A word of life and love and hope. And sometimes, even with our Presbyterian fears of evangelism, we want to share. Like Chelsea was saying to the kids, have you ever been to a really great restaurant and you can't wait to tell people about how good it is and that they need to go? Guess what? We've got a really great church. Don't you sometimes want to tell people what you have found here? A sense of community or hope or life. A place where you can go out into the community and serve and know you've made a difference. Sometimes we have that feeling inside. Angela Jameen said, when somebody invites you to church, they're saying, "I love you, and I want this indescribable love, peace, and joy for you." That's what the person who has sent you countless emails and texts about next Sunday wants, or has called you every Saturday night to see if they can come pick you up on Sunday morning, or your grandmother who writes scripture verses in a card to you every year. This is what they want for you. Is there someone who you want this for? The people in our scripture this morning had some of these same feelings. They had that deep sense of urgency to go out and share the gospel. Our passage comes in the middle of Acts, and this one sentence says a lot about what's going on. When Paul and Barnabas arrived, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas had been traveling all around sharing the good news. Did you hear the names of all those cities that I had to pronounce in our scripture reading? They were not staying put. They were getting out, and it was not easy, and they had very mixed results. Along the way, there were challenges. There were miracles, They took risks. There was excitement. There was preaching. There was conflict and misunderstanding. There were baptisms, inciting excitement, jail time, and a prison break. I would encourage you to go back and read a little bit through Acts. This was not a smooth road ahead. But they got out there, and they did it. And while I don't think our evangelism is going to necessarily lead to jail time or prison breaks, it will lead to some risk-taking, maybe to some conflict, and definitely to the movement of the Holy Spirit. We do not do this on our own. Sometimes we find that the Holy Spirit moves through our kids. Did you see how many kids said that they had invited a friend to church or talked about their church with other people? We have a family who's relatively new here at Northwoods, so I called the mom, Alex, to find out about how they got involved at Northwoods. She said she has a son, Tristan, who's 10 years old, and his best friend is one of our Northwoods kids, Charlie Green. So Tristan and Charlie were talking, and Tristan told his mom that one of the things that they had talked about was his church and Jesus. So Alex texted Charlie's mom, Alice, to find out more about their church. And Alice told her about Northwoods, and Alex thought, and I love this, how great would it be if our 10-year-old boys are growing up together in their friendship and in their faith. So they came to Northwoods to find out more about it, and they have felt very welcomed. They've joined the church, they volunteer, and they said they love it here. It's felt so welcoming. When I talked with Alice about this, she said, it's funny you should call now, because just last week, Charlie invited another friend to church. They had been trying to find a time to do a play date together, and the families couldn't find a time that matched. And so Bruce, Alice's husband, Charlie's dad, said, well, why don't we see if he wants to come to church? They could go to Sunday school, we could grab some lunch, we could have a play date. And Alice thought, sure, why not? So that's what they did last week. Charlie brought another friend to church. He's our new designated evangelist, I think. And she said, you know, they may come back again. Actually, when Bruce dropped the boy off, he told him. He said, if you ever want to come back to our church, you just let me know, and we'll get you a ride here. We never know what difference an invitation might make. Maybe we're called to be like Charlie, like Tristan, like Alex and Alice and Bruce, to talk about our faith, to invite other people to join us, to see what this is all about. And maybe we're called to be like Tom Powers. Tom and Joaquin Guy walked together every morning for years. They would walk early every morning, Monday through Saturday, except for Tuesday mornings. Because on Tuesday mornings, Tom would go to Pastor Paul's men's Bible study at 6:30 a.m. Never been so glad to be a woman. So they wouldn't walk on Tuesday mornings. Well, Joaquin retired, and so Tom said, why don't you come with me to Bible class? And Joaquin thought, well, okay, that sounds pretty good. So he started attending. Tuesday morning, 6:30, they would come and listen to Paul Nazarian, and Joaquin said he was very impressed. He was impressed with Paul, but he was also impressed with how the group dug into the Bible, into God's Word, discussed it. They agreed on some things, they disagreed on some things, but he said in his tradition, in worship, the person leading worship would read the Bible, they would give the interpretation, and that was the end of it. He said he had never had the opportunity to read the Bible for himself, to study God's Word. He felt like this was the first time he was seeing the truth of the Bible, not just an interpretation based on tradition, but what it meant for him. He would talk with the people who were in this class and discuss and learn and grow. Well, one of the other Bible study members, John Kenyon, took note of this. And he approached Joaquin and he said to him, "It looks like you are really trying to get close to the Lord. I'm going to take you to a place where you will find him." Joaquin said, "Okay." Well, that place ended up being prison. John and a group of men participate regularly in Kairos, a weekend-type retreat at this prison. And Joaquin said it was the first time that he had really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. He said after the first day, as he lay in bed that night, he kept thinking back through the day and everything that had happened. He thought about the things that they had taught the men, the Bible study. He thought about the questions the men asked and the answers that he gave. And he said, "I was saying things I had never thought before. I was giving answers that I didn't have inside of me." And he couldn't sleep that night. And he got up the next morning, and they were having breakfast with the other leaders. And they said, "Joaquin, it looks like you didn't get any sleep last night." And he said, "I didn't." And he told them about what he had been thinking about. And he said, they just laughed. And they said, "Joaquin, when we're on the unit, we are not ourselves. It is the Lord speaking through us." He said he knew then. He knew what the Holy Spirit felt like. How the Holy Spirit could work. He knew how personal that could be. He says, "Tom's invitation opened up a whole new journey for me. I had never read the Bible. When I went to church, I wasn't allowed to disagree. But here people open their hearts and accept you the way you are. Here I have the chance to talk directly with the Lord, to go straight to the Bible. We might disagree, but we will always love each other." And Tom never said, "You have to come." He simply said, "Why don't you come with me?" While this was happening, Joaquin's wife, Dolores, met Judy Kenyon, John's wife, at their tennis club. Judy invited Dolores to come to Northwoods to teach Zumba. So her own little path to Northwoods was opening up. On top of that, their son, Josue, was looking at colleges and universities and found Eckerd College in Florida, which is a Presbyterian school. Their other son met a woman named Michelle, fell in love, got married. Michelle is the daughter of a couple who are members here at Northwoods. Joaquin said that God was not subtle. He said they are so proud and so thankful to be a part of us, a part of you, of our church family. And we are proud and we are thankful to have them as a part of our church family. Dolores and Joaquin have both served as elders, and Joaquin is now employed as a chaplain at the prison. And it all started with that simple invitation: "Will you come with me?" It's easy to miss something we're not looking for. We hope that you will be looking. One of our goals for Northwoods for 2020 is open doors. We want our doors to be open wide for all of God's children, for all who are needing that word of good news. So I hope in the coming weeks and months, you will try to look a little harder at the people around you. Maybe it's a friend you see on a regular basis. Maybe it's a stranger whose path you just happened to cross. Maybe it's a family member. But let's keep our eyes open for who might need to hear that word of good news. Who might need that personal invitation? Why don't you come with me? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we're so thankful.